Please stand as we begin the service. I'll be reading 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Brother Foster, will you please open us in a word of prayer?
Amen. And your hymnals is page number 140. We have an anchor. Springs of Living Water.
Drinking at the springs of living water. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. God's been awful good to us. I see Richard and Leslie are here. That's good. We'll get a testimony from you before it's all over, okay? I'm going to have Brother Wagner come, turn it over to him. And it's been good to have them with us. Praise the Lord to be able to have him. Pray for him on the road, okay? And they live in that small little house, and yet it's convenient unless he gets in trouble. And then he can sleep in the back of the truck. But anyhow, you pray for them as they hit the road. Fuel affects everybody, right? And so diesel affects him, and so you might remember to pray for him.
When I get in trouble, I don't sleep in the pickup. My wife says I get the basement. But we are excited to be here. And we've had a great day, and we just appreciate the opportunity. And so I'm going to try not to talk as much and sing a little bit more. Who said that? My wife said that? You have time for counseling afterwards? This song was written by a friend of ours out of North Carolina. And her husband just went to be with the Lord this year, about a couple of months ago. She used to travel with him while he trucked. He was a trucker, and she would write songs. And she wrote about 300 songs so far. But anyway, this is a song that she wrote. And you listen, there's a land beyond the river. There's a crossing we must make, and it spans a river wide. We shall make that final crossing over to the other side. We will be at home with Jesus, there with Him to be forever. Yes, we'll be with Christ our Lord in that land beyond the river. There's a land beyond the river, where the saints shall not grow old. There's a land beyond the river, where the streets are paved with gold. Someday soon I'm going there, to that land of beauty rare. And my home shall be forever, in that land beyond the river. I am going to that land over on the other side, where my Jesus will be waiting with arms open wide. Then I'll see my Savior and live with Him forever. Yes, I shall be with Jesus in that land beyond the river. There's a land beyond the river, where the saints shall not grow old. There's a land beyond the river, where the streets are paved with gold. Someday soon I'm going there, to that land of beauty rare. And my home shall be forever, in that land beyond the river. Yes, my home shall be forever, in that land beyond the river. What a joy it's going to be when we get to heaven. Well, I need to pause just a little bit here. I've got a dedication that I need to do. And it's my first time to do this publicly. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wallet and car keys somewhere along the way. But I'll be looking for eight when they pull their gate, and I hope the judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo on my mind. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I've got is just what I've got on. I ain't got a dime, but what I've got is mine. I ain't rich, but Lord, I'm free. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's where I'll be. So that was for you, Miss Cindy. I had to change a couple of words because I didn't feel right about saying I lost my wife and a girlfriend. I only had one of the words changed until I got over here and I was practicing through it out there. And I thought, oh, that's what I can use. And so that's where I got the car keys from. Anyway. Oh, we've got to do a fun one. I can't do a serious one right yet. This is Brother Johnny Flanagan wrote this song. And it's just always a lot of fun. Can y'all turn this up just a tad bit? And then I won't feel like I'm having to push to it. I think my nap today, I must have snored a little hard because my voice is affected. Well, over in the book of Moses, the strangest thing I found about this man called Pharaoh, he brought plagues all over town. Now it was very hard and he disobeyed the things that God had said. So the Lord sent fleas, flies, and frogs. Turn the water to a bloody red. Moses said to Pharaoh, won't you let my people go? Pharaoh answered Moses, now I know it can't be so. Won't you come back in the morning? They can journey with you one and all. But today I just can't give them up. I want one more night with the frogs. One more night, those stinking frogs, one more night in sin. Had a terrible time with them last night. I just gotta do it again. This will always be a puzzle to me, and I reckon it's all because he could have sleep, rest, and peace, but chose one more night with the frogs. Well, you find here a lot of people like the one in the Egypt land, go staggering and slipping and sliding, doing all they can to stand. Holding on to some little old sin, don't mount to a thing at all. They're gonna give it up tomorrow, but want one more night with the frogs. One more night, those stinking frogs, one more night in sin. Had a terrible time with them last night. I just gotta do it again. This will always be a puzzle to me, and I reckon it's all because they could have sleep, rest, and peace, but chose one more night with the frogs.
Ribbit.
Oh, mercy. That's sort of the way it is, isn't it? The way things are going to be. Well, I don't know if I can remember how to do this song. Well, let me explain. 2 weeks ago, we were in Fort Madison, Iowa, preaching a revival meeting. And a man came up to me out of the church there and said, "You talked about how many, all your friends have written songs." And he says, "I want to give you a song." And anyway, so he did. And he gave me the soundtrack to it, gave me the recording of it. And I said, he played it for me. And I said, "I love the song." And then he gave me a soundtrack to it. But I just tried playing it today. And I'm just learning, so there's probably going to be a lot of mistakes. But I wanted to share it with you anyway. I'm hoping I can remember it. I was down and out, I was in the devil's grasp. My life was empty and my future looked black. When I hit rock bottom, I cried, "Lord, how can it be?" And I blamed everything on everyone but me. Then a man of God came calling on me. A man of God came calling on me. He came to my front door with a big smile on his face, started telling me about God's saving grace. He opened up his Bible and he read from God's word. He told me many things that I had never heard. He took me to Jesus on the Romans road, where he showed me how God could save my soul. Oh, a man of God came calling on me. A man of God came calling on me. He came to my front door with a big smile on his face, started telling me about God's saving grace. The man of God knelt with me, he taught me how to pray, and I surrendered everything to my Lord that day. I accepted Jesus, and now I know I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. A man of God came calling on me. A man of God came calling on me. He came to my front door with a big smile on his face, started telling me about God's saving grace. If a man of God comes calling, don't turn him away. Just listen very closely to what he has to say about our Lord Jesus, who never knew sin, how he died for us so we could live for him. Oh, Jesus, the only man who never knew sin, precious Jesus, he died for us so we could live for him. Thank you, Lord. And I actually just started singing it day before yesterday and trying to learn it. And so anyway, well, this song, I love songs about heaven. I'm sort of getting to where George Jantz talked about one time. He says, "I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me." And I know I'm still a young man. I'm 68 years old. And I don't mind saying that. I know I look younger than that. But you know, I don't know. With the things that have been going on, I believe we're going to be in heaven soon. But I'm not afraid to go if he chooses just to say, "Greg, I'm ready for you." You know, Sandy and I have been praying that if he takes one of us, just take both of us. Now, it's in his hands. But there's a lot to look forward to. There's going to be a huge reunion in heaven. There really is. And, you know, in 2019, Brother Johnny Fulmer sang one of his songs this morning. He got started in country music. It liked to kill him. He got saved, started writing songs for the Lord. And he went to be with the Lord in February 2019. And then my dad passed away in March of 2019. And Brother Leroy Pickering went to be with the Lord in 2019. And I mean, just a whole lot of people that we knew. And then Brother Bill Wamsgans went, Brother Gross went in 2019 in the fall, went to be with the Lord. And then Bill Wamsgans, almost a year to the day later, went to be with the Lord. And just a lot of people that we've known, and they're in heaven. It's just like the song, Heaven's Getting Sweeter all the time. And so this song just talks about when we get home, and written by Roscoe Reed. Oh, since I had heard about a better home, I would leave this old world with all it owns. Just slip away most any day to heaven's shore. I'll find sweet rest beyond the grave forevermore. Yes, I'll rejoice, oh praise the Lord, some sweet day when I walk up the great Milky Way. Goodbye, old world, good morning there before the throne. What a singing there will be when I get home. When I move up there to settle down, when I step inside the gates to look around, I'll need at least a million years to view the throne. So many friends that I will see when I get home. And, oh Lord, hear my prayer before I leave. May I live so my friends will follow me. This little home you gave to me while here below. I want to meet each one of them on heaven's shore. Yes, I'll rejoice, oh praise the Lord, some sweet day when I walk up the great Milky Way. Goodbye, old world, good morning there before the throne. What a singing there will be when I get home. Goodbye, old world, good morning there before the throne. What a singing there will be when I get home. I can only imagine what it's going to be like, you know. And there's still a lot of people that we need to reach. I remember when I was pastoring, well, our Egypt was in Nebraska for a year. And I remember I went on staff with Brother Lloyd Gross in September of 1976 and worked on staff with him for four and a half years. Met my wife there. Met her parents, and her mom picked me out for her daughter. She was a wise woman. And finally, Sandy proposed to me, and we got married. I know she regrets it, but she really didn't propose to me. I just convinced her. But anyway, we just love serving the Lord. And then the Lord moved us to Nebraska. One of those things, you know, you learn a lot of things. And whenever God opens the door for you to go talk to somebody about the Lord, do not tell him no. We'd led some people to the Lord up there, and then I got a call in the middle of the night. We had a baby. Boone was just a baby at that time, and oh man, I love playing with him and spending time with him. I built him a pair of chaps for him to wear, built him a bareback rig and put it on my knee, and we'd buck rodeo every night, you know. Just had a great time. And My sister ruined it all when she sent a drum and cymbal set. And that quickly disappeared, by the way. But I remember I was just enjoying time with him, and I got a call that a man was in the hospital and asked if I would go out and see him. They weren't sure about his salvation. I'm telling you, God will teach you hard lessons. And I said, I'll go see him in the morning. He died that night. I can only pray that he was saved. I don't want him to stand there and point his finger at me and say, you could have told me. But you didn't. You stayed at home with your little boy. I have to tell you, if there's ever anything that haunts my ministry and is a motivation to tell people and talk to them when God puts it on my heart, it's that. Brother Johnny Flanagan wrote a song about it. He didn't know about what I went through, but he wrote a song and I came across it. It's called Warn Them, and I've put a subtitle to it, You Knew All Along. And so I'm going to share this one and one other, Sandy, and then I'm going to have you come, if you would, and do your reading. But this is the title I've put to it, You Knew All Along. One night I woke up from a dream I was dreaming, trembling and as scared as could be. I dreamed I was there at the great white throne judgment. My best friend, he stood there with me. The angels, they bound him and led him from me to toward, as it were, a burning sea. I had turned away for my name he was calling. It seemed my best friend said to me, you knew all along just where I was heading. You knew what would be my destiny. You lived your life knowing just where I was going and never once mentioned it to me. My pillow was wet and my heart, it was pounding. I did not await the break of day. I found my friend told the dream I was dreaming. He bowed and I heard my friend say, dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner. Forgive me and save me, I pray. Now my sleep is sweeter, my dreams so much better, to know I'll never hear my best friend say, you knew all along just where I was heading. You knew what would be my destiny. You lived your life knowing just where I was going and never once mentioned it to me. We who are saved have been touched and awakened, could say, been raised from the dead. Now God bids us go awake the ones who are sleeping and warn them of what lies ahead. It would be awful to know the truth and never tell somebody about it. It would be awful if someone knew the cure for cancer and then never told anybody about it. And we have the truth. And we can tell them. But you know, we pass up a lot of people. We have opportunities. We can pass out tracts. I permanently borrowed some tracts from Brother Olson in Wichita. And it's put out by the Mercy and Truth Ministries over here. And it says, are you ready for the coronavirus? I pass those out all over the place. Plus our track that we carry, How to Get to Heaven from Texas. And people do the same thing. They laugh like that. But I tell them, I said, now I need to tell you, it really is possible. to get there from Texas or any other state or country. And we had a gal, I'm trying to remember now where she was at. Where were we at? It was Arkansas, Russellville, Arkansas, and we handed her that track. And she said, "You are the kindest Texans I have ever met." And she was reading it, and we still had people behind us, and she was reading the track. She leaned over that little thing that has the sacks on it. And, I mean, she just talked to us. Listen, we never know. You were sharing about the gal who came to church here who had been given a track. And we don't know who God's going to put in our path. And we just need to tell him. Brother Lloyd Stewart, who pastored in Eureka for so many years, wrote a song. And it was actually Brother Quigley that gave me the song. And it's just been such a testimony. So I want to share this with you. And then Sandy, if you'll come and do that. Just called "He Lightened My Load." I was so burdened down with sin and with shame, I could not lift my load. I was surely to blame. Then came the Savior and lightened my load, and now I can say I am on the right road. He lightened my load. He lightened my load. When Jesus took away my sin, He lightened my load. Those burdens He took from me, He bore on Calvary. And now I am set free. He lightened my load. He can help you, my friend, as you stumble along. He can lighten your load and give you a song. What a blessing it is to know that you're set free. And now you can say, it is heaven for me. He lightened my load. He lightened my load. When Jesus took away my sin, He lightened my load. Those burdens He took from me, He bore on Calvary, and now I am set free. He lightened my load, and now I am set free. He lightened my load. You listen as Sandy comes and shares her reading.
This is called a baby, a stable, and God's time. She was standing at the window when the sharp pain struck. She took a deep breath and counted on her fingers. 8. Time told her she was right. Her body was screaming otherwise. Should she tell her espoused husband? She watched him step from the shop and shake hands with her father. As soon as her father was out of sight, Joseph studied the hammer that he held, then slung it through the air. It hit the side of the chicken yard, and the scared fowl scattered and squawked up a dusty storm. No, she would not tell Joseph. Something was bothering him. She plunged her hands into the bread dough, easing her emotions by kneading the bread. Who was she fooling? Something had been bothering him ever since she had told him about the baby. He hardly talked to her, and she longed to see again the look in his eyes, which told her she was everything to him. It was gone, and she prayed God would bring it back. Joseph knocked on the door before he thrust it open and stepped into the small room. He asked her mother if he might speak with her daughter and was surprised when she meekly left the room. He crossed to the table, yanked out a chair, and sat. Mary smiled. He never did anything quietly. That must be the man in him. Come sit down, Mary. We need to talk. He drummed his fingers on the table, but he didn't lift his eyes to look at her. Mary rubbed the dough from her hands and was glad to sit. She reached over and scooped up his fingers to quiet them. Joseph? She questioned. He glanced at her and let his troubled eyes stray. Miriam, Mary, we have a problem. Mary had never seen Joseph cry, but she thought he was not far from it. He drew his hand from hers and rubbed his forehead. It's about that tax law. Caesar Augustus has passed the thing. It requires us to go to our own city to be taxed. Mary, I tried, but there was no way to let you stay. We are espoused, promised. I have to take you to Bethlehem. He shook his head, and Mary thought the tears would fly. For a moment he struggled, swallowed, and continued. Miriam, I'm sorry. I've prayed, but we still must go. He paused, and for once he looked into her eyes with just a touch of the love that she remembered. Can you make it, Mary? I know you have at least a month before this baby comes, but it will be hard for you to travel. Do you think that you can make it? Mary nodded. I must. Maybe we could borrow your father's ox cart. That would make it easier. Joseph stood, turned his back, and spread his hands. He sighed. Mary, my father does not believe me about this baby being God's son. He threw me out of the house. He refuses to see me or talk to me. He won't even let my mother or my sisters and brothers speak to me. Oh, I'm sorry, Mary whispered. She knew the feeling of being shunned. No one talked to her anymore at the well, at the market, anywhere. Joseph's shoulders slumped. Sometimes, Mary, sometimes I wish the Lord had not chosen you and me. Do you ever feel that way? The tears that Joseph had held back, Mary let flow. Joseph, sometimes. Sometimes I do, but then I remember who this baby is. She crossed to her intended. Joseph, put your hand here and feel. She took his hand and placed it on her rounded tummy. She smiled as the baby kicked, bouncing Joseph's hand away. This baby, Joseph, this baby is the prophecy Isaiah gave, the promised Messiah, the King of Kings. Joseph, this is the Son of God, and it is an honor that God chose you and me. Joseph pulled his hand away with words he refused to say. It was not his baby, and he was fighting the feelings that he had. How did a man love a woman and watch her have another man's baby, even if it was God's son? Quickly, he looked to the roof, hiding his heart from Mary. You'll have to ride Ben. He's an old donkey and he's slow, but he's all that I have. It will be rough, and I'm sorry. If we leave tomorrow early, it will give us extra time. Can you do that? I must. I pray all goes well. He turned to the door. Joseph, it's God's son. It will go well because God will protect us. Mary gently spoke to the back of her promised husband. He didn't say a word as he shoved the door open and left. Mary's mother looked at the floor in despair when her daughter told her that she must go with Joseph to Bethlehem. How could one argue with Caesar? Finally, the restless night passed and morning came too early. Everything seemed to take extra time. The road was busy with hordes of people going to be taxed just as they were. Yet it was a breath of fresh air when strangers were friendly. Most travelers passed them on the way, and Joseph was kind and concerned, stopping to rest many times. As the evening shadows fell, they were the only travelers left on the road. Mary kept the pains to herself so as not to worry Joseph. Joseph dropped the leading reins to the side of Ben and stepped back to check on his espoused wife. You look worn out, Mary. Just hold on a little longer, and I promise a soft bed in Bethlehem. As she nodded, Mary held her breath. She was more than worn out. Her body was cringing with pain, and like it or not, this baby was going to come. Joseph started Ben again, and Mary felt each swaying step he took with a jolt. Before long, she was afraid she wouldn't care if she had this baby in the roadside ditch. A velvety black cloaked the sky while slowly the stars blinked to open and shine. Mary didn't wonder that they were the only ones left on the road. Well, it would be better to have the baby without a crowd around. When Joseph moved beside her, she didn't know. But somehow he was holding her onto Ben and guiding him from the donkey's side. It's time for the baby, isn't it? I counted only 8 months, but it's time, isn't it? Sweat trickled down her dusty face. She couldn't hide the pain anymore. She nodded, brushing her hand over her face, smearing the dust and sweat into streaks of mud. How long do we have? He asked. I don't know, Joseph. I've never done this before. She held her bottom lip between her teeth as another tremor ripped through her body. But try to hold on. We are on the outskirts of Bethlehem. We'll find a room, I promise, and I'll go for help, Joseph soothed her. Mary couldn't answer. She was gulping in great breaths of air as the pain stretched on. Joseph handed her the reins. Hold on. There's an end. He twisted the lead rope about her hand, ran and pounded the door. From beyond her world, Mary listened to the pieces of the exchange. I've got to have a room. Oh, sir, there isn't a room to be had in all of Bethlehem. This city is full and overflowing. But you don't understand. My Mary is going to have a baby any time now. His panicked voice rose. The tired woman sighed. Oh, sir, I would like to help. Joseph clutched her arm. Well, please, please, I don't know what to do, but I've got to get her off of that donkey, and I've got to get her help. From behind the woman, a clear young voice spoke. Mama, I could clean out a stall in the stable, and I could throw fresh straw down for her. Son, you're supposed to be with a flock. You'd better get back there before your father finds you. His mama scolded him. Mama, Levi's with the flock. I'm to come back in a bit. But Mama, look, that lady needs a place. She's going to have a baby. His mama looked to Joseph and sighed. Well, will a stall in a stable do? Joseph didn't know a stray tear had escaped. Wildly, he shook her hand. Oh, yes, yes, thank you. What's the cost? Later, sir. We'll take care of the payment later. It looks like you'd better get her there quick. She turned to her son. Darius, show them to the stable and get things ready. I'll get your sister to fetch hot water and rags. Oh, thank you. We don't have anything. The baby was not due for a whole nother month, Joseph whispered. With a weary smile, she reached out and patted his hand. Sir, sometimes our timing is off, but God's timing never is. He's always on time. Joseph swallowed, turned, and ran to catch Mary as she swayed from the donkey's back. We've got a place, Mary. It's only a stable stall. Will that work? Sweetly, she smiled. It's going to have to work. My water just broke. Joseph's eyes grew. He stumbled into a run as he followed the shepherd boy to the stable. There's no time for cleanup, Darius. Quickly, he kicked the soiled straw away and let Darius pitch new straw in its place. Gently, he laid Mary down. Mary squeezed his hand. He didn't know she had such strength. When she eased her grip, he told her, Mary, I've got to go get help. I don't know how to deliver a baby. With both hands, Mary grabbed him and pulled him to her. No, you cannot leave me. I have carried this baby alone, and I will not have him alone without you. God gave you to me, and I need you to help me. I need you, Joseph. Joseph was scared, but he dared not move from her side. He stroked her gently. Darius, he called over his shoulder, I need light. I've got to see what I'm doing. Darius ran to the door and pulled it wide. In awe, he gasped as light flooded into the stable from the night sky. Thanks, Darius. Just bring that lamp over here. Darius held his hands wide. I don't got no lamp. There's some special star lighting up the whole sky out there. Darius' sister trudged into the stable with a bucket of steaming water and a pile of rags slung over her shoulder. She stopped beside Joseph. Wow! That is some star shining out there. Oh, and Mama says she's sorry. The only clean thing she has left in the house is this pile of swaddling clothes that we use for the sacrifice lambs. But they're clean. She says, though, she won't be offended if you don't want to use these grave clothes for your baby. But they are clean, and it is all she's got. Joseph whispered in desperation. Oh, thank you. Do you think that your mama could come and help? Maybe, the girl shrugged, but she's got a pile of dirty dishes. I'd be glad to stay, though, and help. The girl smiled, showing a new tooth crowding into an empty spot. Ah, Miriam, Darius laughed as his sister climbed the stall fence to help. You just want to get out of doing dishes. Joseph? Mary called and groaned. This baby is coming. All time swarmed and stood still at once. Joseph had never been so busy in his life. He caught the baby, he cut the cord, he washed the infant, and gently he wrapped the baby in the clean swaddling clothes. You don't mind swaddling clothes, do you? He asked as he placed the baby in Mary's arms. We weren't ready. You were only 8 months along. She fingered the sides of his face. Joseph, she reached over. Isn't 8 the number of new beginnings? This is certainly a new beginning for you and me, maybe for the whole world. Sorrow seized her eyes in tears glazed. Grave clothes. For the Son of God, Joseph. She paused as little shivers of apprehension ran through her body. I guess I mind a little. It scares me. I wonder what it means. She stroked the soft hair of the new little babe and touched her lips to his cheek. She opened his hand. Joseph, look. I wonder what mysteries he holds in these tiny hands. I think he may hold our future. She looked to her husband. Do you want to hold him? Cold distance clouded Joseph's face. Mary, his whisper was torn. He's not my son. She flashed her eyes and took a deep breath. She studied Joseph's torn face as she composed her words. Joseph, he is not really my son either. He is God's son. God just used me as the gift wrap to deliver his gift to the world. Tears flooded Joseph's hardened face. He licked his lips, nodded, and stretched out his arms to hold the son that God had chosen to share with him. This baby was God's son, but he was in his care for a short time. Mary softly spoke. He needs us, both of us, Joseph. He needs us to protect this perfect little gift. Joseph nodded. A smile spread over the new mother's face. Oh, Joseph, I'm so glad that God chose you. With your heart, you will care for our little Messiah, God's precious gift to all mankind. A twinkle flared in Joseph's eyes. And God chose the most beautiful gift wrap on the face of the earth to wrap his son in. I love you, Mary. Mary swallowed. Now that was the look that she had missed from Joseph's eyes for so long. It was the look that proclaimed he loved her, and the look she had prayed that God would let her see again. Thank you, God. She looked to the rafters and smiled. From the fence, Miriam gaped in awe. The skies burst with music. Darius led a group of shepherds quietly through the open door. And the little baby stretched out his arms and smiled to welcome them.
Atonement Day is at hand, a little boy and his lamb make their way to the tabernacle gate. As the lamb was led away, a tear streamed down his face as he watched from a distance. You could hear him say, my little lamb, cannot stay, for my sin the price you must pay, a sacrifice that is so great, my little lamb, you must go away. God looked down from heaven's throne. He saw us hopeless and alone. To redeem us, he would have to send his son. As Jesus left that holy place, a tear streamed down God's face. All of heaven then grew silent. You could hear him say, my precious lamb, you cannot stay. Man, to redeem the price you must pay, my only son, I will give away. Oh, precious lamb, you must go today. Oh, hallelujah, praise the lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb, Almighty Lamb, I'm so glad you came. My every sin you have washed away. You saved my soul, now I can say, Almighty Lamb, I'll see you someday, O mighty Lamb. I'll see you someday.
Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Exodus. I'm not going to keep you very long. Exodus chapter number 14. I love your theme for this year. Fear not. Boy, if we would just apply that in our lives. I know that many of you are familiar with this passage. Egypt has had God's people in bondage, in slavery, and God sent Moses to lead them in deliverance. Oh, such an amazing... You know, sometimes we only see part of things, and we've got to go back and see how God puts everything together. And we don't have time to do that tonight. I'm not going to take time. But I'm telling you, folks, don't just go the surface when you're reading God's Word. Dig and get into it and see what God is teaching us. I just want to just share with you just a little bit read with me in beginning in verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Just three things that I see when I read this, and I see this, that we even today are standing at the threshold of opportunity. A lot of things going down the tubes around us. But if there's ever a time that you and I need not to be fearful about what's happening today or what's going to happen tomorrow, but that we will just fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. When we think about how God brought them to the shore of the Red Sea, Pharaoh's hot on their backs. I mean, he's breathing down their necks. He knows he's got to catch them because they've already discussed the wrong decision to let them go, because now they have to do the work themselves. And so they've gone after them, and God gave a promise to Moses to pass on to the people that God would protect them, God would take care of them, and that God was going to allow this all to happen so that he might get his honor on Pharaoh. Listen, we need to understand that God has a plan. The things that you and I are going through, you know, 2020, and I bring this up, but I remember sharing it with someone very close to me, and they called and said this, and God did not look over the edge of heaven, that's just a figurative of speech, and say, "Oh no, there's a coronavirus." God has a plan. And I want us to understand he's still on the throne. He's still in control. And God was in control. They didn't see that at the time. They didn't understand that at the time, that God had a plan and that God had worked everything and that they did not have to be afraid. Listen, is there anybody that we know that's greater than God? No. Anybody here ever make a sun, moon, or all the stars? Thank you for not raising your hand. We'd have had to have a discussion afterwards. But I'm just saying, there's none that equals God. He can handle it. And if God tells us to do something, to go and to come to here, I know we see the barriers before us and sometimes see closed doors, but remember, God's going to open the ones that we need to have opened. We just need to trust him. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 is so important. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And those first three things are what you and I are to do, then he'll do our part. After we do ours, he'll do his part, and he shall direct thy paths. God wanted them to trust him. And what did they do? They had a Baptist fit when they got to the shore. I mean, they had a committee meeting and went to Moses and said, "Did we not tell you this is what would happen?" And Moses had to remind them what God had said. And so finally, God said, "Lift up your rod." I would love to have seen the looks on the faces of God's people when the waters divided and stood as walls. Before we become critical of them, why are we surprised when God does something for us? And I can only imagine that their step quickened as they stepped onto dry ground and walked across. We're talking about 2 million people. That just wouldn't have happened just in 30 seconds. It took some time, and as they went across, and I see a couple of, this is the humorous side of things that I see. I think, what a great aquarium they got to see as they walked through. Look at that. Look at that. But think of those in the aquarium looking and going, what is that? You know. But I'm just saying that as they're going across, they're thinking, here's the escape route. We get to escape Pharaoh. But don't you know those on the backside of the crowd, they saw what was coming. And they saw Pharaoh as he hit that dry ground also. But they forgot, God's got this. And he said, "Fear not, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." God never, 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 never goes back on his word. He never not keeps a promise. And I'm telling you that as the last one stepped out, I don't know that this happened. Contrary to popular belief, I didn't live back then. But I wonder if maybe once they stepped out of where the water had been, where it was on walls, if maybe they didn't all turn around. I don't know. Maybe they just kept on running. But me, I would want to see what's going on. And can you imagine that all of a sudden Pharaoh's, he's getting excited because he's catching them, he thought. And then all of a sudden, the walls came caving in. And we know, he and the rest of the Egyptian army drowned. I wonder if maybe there wasn't a gasp on the other shore where the people of God stood, because that's not what they expected. They thought they were going back into slavery. I wonder if maybe it wasn't the same kind of gasp that later was let out not only by the Philistines, but by God's army when David slung that stone and it hit Goliath. If maybe all of them who expected him to die at Goliath's hand went, but following that erupted the sounds of joy and excitement as they realized God kept his word. In this day that we live, there's a lot happening. Friend of ours, Brother Heckel in Guymon, his granddaughter was killed and shot multiple times in the parking lot of Texas Roadhouse in Amarillo, Texas. I just heard this morning there was another shooting, not only just the shooting in New York, but there was a shooting just multiple shootings. Everything just seems, listen, in our part of town, it was nothing to hear gunshots. Nothing. But you know, we knew that even though it was a rough neighborhood, they needed the gospel. And this world, they're not going to be kind to us because they don't understand God's love. But we who understand God's love ought to be willing to let them know by taking a stand for God and saying, we don't know what tomorrow holds. I know not what it has, but I know who holds it. And I'd like to tell you about him. And just know I'm not afraid. You know, I know there's a lot of things doctrinally that were not correct, but I can tell you the day that Nikki Cruz was faced with the love of God won out. He didn't understand it, but God saved him out of the gangs. I can't give you the man's name, but years ago there was a man, I have the book, his testimony. I was reading his testimony again this morning, preacher, who got caught up. He had a talent of doing phone taps, line tapping, which was illegal. It still is. But he got caught up doing it for the mob. And then one night, somebody invited him to go to a crusade. And he heard the gospel and got saved. He called the guy that he worked for and said, I'm through. They had a job that was coming up, and he says, I'm not going to do it. And he was, I believe, in California, but the man, his boss, drove all the way across country, and he knew he was coming, and when they arrived in that big old black car. Three other men got out beside his boss, the mob boss, and they stood, and he knew that they planned on killing him. And he says, I have nothing to lose. And he began to share with him. They said, the boss said, well, he said, haven't you heard about what happened to me? He goes, oh, anybody can be paid off to have religion. He said, no, you don't understand. And he shared his testimony, how God saved him, kept witnessing to him, kept telling him. And he said, you could tell when his heart began to soften and that mob boss began to look down and was ashamed. He said, why don't you come and go with me to that crusade? I want you to meet the Jesus that I met. And he says, I can't. He said, but you can. He goes, no, I can't. He said, why not? He said, because then I'd be just like you. You have a great day. And they left. He said he knew God had not only delivered his soul, but he delivered his life that day. And he got to witness. There are literally hundreds of thousands of people that are out there that are relying on someone like us. They don't understand it, but they want to know about Jesus. They're looking for answers. And it's not in what they're finding. They need the Lord. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We are standing at the threshold of an opportunity to be a testimony. Let's not blow it. Father, we thank you for the privilege tonight. And what an honor we've had to be here. Thank you for each one who's here. And I just pray now as I turn it over to the pastor that you would just continue to work in our hearts. Good to see Brother Krotz here tonight. Father, we pray for them. Pray for Brother Veazey. Pray, Father, you just be with each one of us and help us to be the testimony you want us to be. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
It's been good to be in the Lord's house. Richard, why don't you come on up and give us a short testimony as he comes. I'll remind you, Wednesday night we'll have church. Friday night, Jared is going to graduate. Sounds like it's good. You can plan on coming, all right? And there'll be a reception following 6:30 here at the church. And I encourage you to come and encourage Jared as he goes through this exciting time of his life. There'll be a brown bag on the 29th. And then camp fees, if we can have that and all the paperwork in no later than June the 1st, that'd be a great blessing. We'll be all ready to go to camp that way. And then we'll have outreach on June the 4th. Prayer needs here, ask that you remember to pray for each one that's listed. Then remember to pray for Mrs. Reichel, her sister, having just passed away. And we've prayed for her for years and still pray for the brother. And so if you would, Just pray for Mrs. Reichel at this time and the family. Richard Ellis, who's been coming, asked that we'd pray for him. And then I visited with the Gilsons today on the way out, and it was just a horrible week for them. And so if you would, be praying for them. And then still dealing with trying to get the adoption of the grandchildren settled. And so please pray for them and lift them up before the Lord. Brother Richard? You got any good words about being on the road and exciting things that God has done? And then close us in prayer.
All right. Well, the best news, I guess, is I was trying to think to make sure I had it right, but I think within the last 4 weeks, so last month, we've got 6 new supporting churches and 4 of those in the last 2 weeks. So we're very thankful for that. Praise the Lord. And just kind of ask that you would continue to pray that we would see that movement keep going on throughout the rest of the year, and maybe we can meet the goal that we've got to be on the field around this time next year. So do continue to pray for us in regards to that. We are going to be, I think this Sunday was the only one I have for probably the next month where we don't have a meeting for a service, so that's also a blessing, full schedule coming up, and so be praying for our traveling safeties in regard to that as well. Then I guess another news, some know, I don't know if everybody knows, but we did find out that we are expecting to have a boy. So we're also very excited about that.
Richard 4.
All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we're dismissed. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness in this time that we can come together. We can worship you in song and in truth. Lord, we do pray that you'd be with us as we go different places this evening, that you give us all safety. Lord, we do pray that we'd take seriously the challenge that we saw in your word tonight, that we would just trust in you, that we would fear not, as is the theme for our year, that we would just, whatever comes, know that you see the bigger picture and we can trust that you have planned it out for our good and your glory. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.